Think you're a fan of the podcast, but missed last week's episode? Here's what went down. Previously, on the Vampire Journals podcast,
TJ announced a new playoff system.
All right, you guys are going to be at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Hogtied and blindfolded, you have to make your way down in guy-girl pairs, stopping at puzzles along the way.
There'll be an 11% bump for everybody in the Ray Lewis league.
Chase's anger and fury boiled over to a verbal spat in the house with the vampire crew.
Chase left the chat at 11:47 p.m. on Saturday.
Finally, teams such as Daniel and Chase began their journey to win one or two or three tournament championships in 2021.
We take a look at the QPC algorithm.
Well, we're live and loud and in person in the Live Loud studios, recording just before Christmas Day. Daniel Weeks, Stampire the Vampire, is joined by the one and only Quinn Carson. Quinn, it's our second face-to-face pod of the season. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Daniel. We're here. We're in Arkansas. It's Christmas Eve, and we're in playoff football season in our 2 weeks. I feel like, what besets the name first, obviously, the Vampire Journals podcast. I think we should start there. Daniel, huge week. A couple vampire killers showed up big in the week one of two roundup in our playoffs. But now we find them on the COVID list this week.
Yeah. You know, I asked Kurt the first time in the playoffs for him. I said, what do you think? What do you prefer, 1 or 2 week playoff matchups? I asked him this last week during week one of our matchup. He said, ask me again after Monday. And after Monday, and Kurt walked in with a lead after 1 week in the playoff round, he said, I prefer 1 week. I think we should change it immediately. And yeah, you got breakout performances from Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, two vampire killers. We will see, though, they were kind of, Kelce was diagnosed early in the week. It appears he's a vaccinated player, so he's got a good chance at coming back, I think. But we'll see. I think Tyreek Hill was a day or two later in the week when he was named. But regardless, two really big voids that he's got to look to try and fill. He does have Mark Andrews to replace Kelce. The big question is, what's he going to do if he has to replace Tyreek Hill?
I agree, Daniel. You look at all the players he has questionable or out, and currently he only has one available on his roster to play, and that's David Montgomery, and he's not a wide receiver. So Kurt's got some moves on his roster to reshape himself. He's going to be watching the game down in Dallas this weekend, so we'll be excited to see if he can take any of his luck down to Texas, where Chase came up big last week. Chase last week put up 144 points, walked into the first week against Smokin' Jay Cutler in the playoffs, and just dominated. Had huge, huge, huge performance from Jonathan Taylor, and we just have to give it up to Chase's Week 15 performances from everybody.
Yeah, much like CT and Wes in Rivals 2 on the challenge, Chase has really appeared to dominate from start to finish in this league. He's held the pole position. We talked a lot about the yellow jersey, green jersey, and he was in the running for all of that while holding the yellow jersey practically the entire season. Nothing seemed to change in Week 1 of the playoffs. Stevens looking at 60 plus points to overcome. You think he's got any sort of last stand in him? He's got two available healthy players on his bench.
Yeah, this is the part where you almost wish you could run two quarterbacks and he could just go with Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott in the flex. But he's up a creek. He's looking at Amari Cooper having to take Mike Evans' place. And as we know, I think across the board, the Tampa Bay wide receivers in this playoff matchup, Chase and Steven had both the top two wide receivers who are now both out. Mike Evans out and Chris Godwin for Chase placed on the IR. Daniel, before the podcast, you and I mentioned that Chase's Chris Godwin was one of his cornerstones of his team this year, that he really kept quiet, didn't really promote him or parade him around, but he was a solid factor in him having a complete roster throughout the league, and now he's gone for the playoffs.
Yeah, the number six fantasy wide receiver broke double digits in all but three games this season. Two of those games he had 8+ points. So very few, you know, ESPN's Watson identified that he busted, I believe, just one time this season. So super sturdy and reliable, which is what you're looking for in a league where you can't make waiver acquisitions. Now, Chase, it looks like he filled that void. Godwin was in the flex week one of his matchup. Replaced him with Aaron Jones, Green Bay running back. He lost the opportunity to play Brandon Ayuk, who went on Thursday night. Ayuk accumulated 14 points for him.
Yeah, so late touchdown.
Yeah, so he's really banking on, you know, DeAndre Hopkins also rolled out for the rest of the regular season with a knee injury. So he's really banking on Aaron Jones to be able to fill that void. Otherwise, on his bench, DeAndre Swift, questionable. Doubt he's returning this week with the shoulder injury. Darren Waller, questionable. ESPN is at least forecasting him 14 points. So not a lot of flexibility out of the flex slot for the number one seed in the vampire bracket.
I got to agree. Looking back over at Steven's team one last time, 87.74 to 148. You said 60 points he's got to overcome. You know, does he have a vampire killer? Stephon Diggs. Does Stephon Diggs have a big enough game against New England with two of their wide receivers, Cole Beasley and someone else is out? I can't remember. But, you know, with less options and having to force the ball to Diggs, maybe Josh Allen or Dwight Culpepper could make some magic happen for Steven this week. You know, he could cut that deficit with one player real fast.
Yeah, you know, I think that Steven, at the onset of the season, around draft time, had some hopes that Saquon was going to be able to overcome the knee injury from last year and really kind of return to that springy game breaker he was his rookie season. And it just hasn't happened for Saquon. He's dealt with injuries, COVID, and recovering from last year's knee surgery. It's questionable this week, forecasted for 14 points. Still dealing with that ankle injury that took him out in week five. So I think that, yeah, if we're looking at Steven, it's got to be a big performance from Diggs. Maybe we see some of the potential Pitts, the tight end, has flashed this season. Maybe we get a breakout from him. And ESPN was saying Amari Cooper is thirsty for more targets in that Dallas offense. So there's a path for him to score some points. I just don't know that it's going to be enough to make up for the 60-point hole he's in.
Yep, Solo Dolo really took charge this year. You know, he was our highest player, you'd think, for the most part. Chase, if you're listening, obviously, you know, we miss you in the chat, but we're rolling the music right now and enjoying this one for you.
Yeah, thanks, Chase. And Quinn, I think that takes us to our final matchup in the Vampire League. It's the consolation tournament.
There's no
Quinn prefers to call it the NIT because he prefers to think he was invited to compete in this rock fight between he and Turd Ferguson. And right now, I gotta tell you, Robbie did have a couple people play on Thursday night in week two of the matchup, but it's anybody's game.
It really is. You know, I don't think we need to spend much time on this. Lamar Jackson, and I left A.J. Brown on the bench with 31 points, so, you know, I was a little out of the office coming home from L.A. to get to Arkansas this week. And
blame it on the jet lag.
Yeah, blame it on the jet lag. Blame it on the pizza last night with Kurt and Daniel. We decided to watch The Challenge instead of Thursday Night Football. So, you know, in that sense, you know, lineups were set and decided, and that's how we lived our life. So it was a good year. Bonefex Trees will be back. Turd Ferguson will be back. And I think the last thing, you know, we really didn't spend much time on your team, Daniel. Maybe we should do a little coffin corner.
Okay. Yeah, so if we take a look at the Vampire Squad, he was able to defeat Curtis Jackson the last week of the regular season, finished with a 500 record and 7-7. The final move that he made on the season might have been considered controversial or questionable to some others in the league. I sent Pittsburgh kicker Chris Boswell to Kurt for Los Angeles Rams kicker Matt Gay. Big thing was Boswell had burned me to the second to last week in the regular season compared to the points I needed from him. I've got a lot of trust in the Rams offense. Pittsburgh's is a little more questionable with an aging Roethlisberger, a waning and ineffective offensive line kind of limits the potential scoring for them. Or so I thought in the first week of this matchup in the playoffs. Boswell went for 14 points for Curry. But I felt like the kicker, I'd sent nothing but kickers out all season when I'd won during the regular season. And so the talent pool was thin there, and I really wanted to just secure a kicker, knowing that I was comfortable in every other position, as long as any one position didn't suffer multiple injuries. I've got Allen and Brady at quarterback. After acquiring Alvin Kamara, I've got three top-tier ones with Eckler, Kamara, Harris, and then Debo. Debo and Cooper Kupp have been solid at the wide receiver position. I guess the one regret in hindsight was that Kelsey immediately went for 41 the week after I had a chance to go out and get him. Mm-hmm. But I've been riding with Gronk all season when he's been healthy, and that was truly last week's two catch for 29 yards and zero touchdowns. That performance against New Orleans is really the only disappointing performance he's had so far this season, and I think that especially with Godwin and Evans injured, there's plenty of targets to go around for the likes of Gronkowski and Antonio Brown. So, you know, to end the season and take a look at kind of probably what one of the last iterations of this roster is going to be, Leonard Fournette was somebody who was a big contributor throughout the year. It looks like he's going to miss the last of the regular season. I think I'm going to try and keep him on board just as a veteran presence, a guy that can kind of offer advice to the younger players on the team, and somebody with a Super Bowl ring. So, you know, he worked to get us here. I'm not going to cut him before the end of the season. A guy like Alexander Mattison, maybe I'm going to take the car cover off of him with Dalvin Cook out with COVID at the moment. Madison's projected for about 18 points. I'm going to say just one other reflection on the roster. Most disappointing player and probably the lowest graded trade I executed this year was acquiring Kyler Murray. I acquired him, played him, put up a poor score, and then proceeded to miss 4 weeks, put up one good score, and then he's trending down again. So that maneuver did not work out. That player did not work out. And if I've got to cut anybody to make another move before the end of the playoffs, Kyler's at the top of the list.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we have to look at what you have coming up. Daniel, this could be one of your last weeks playing in the Vampire League this year as the Vampire if you cannot pull it out. But yeah, Debo Samuel putting up 28 big points last night. 9 receptions, 159 yards. You know, you're up by 4. You've played only one player. Pretty much everything's even as we stand. Kurt's needing to play some players. Tyreek Hill's out. Travis Kelce's out. DJ Moore's questionable. Javonte Williams is questionable. Kareem Hunt is still out. So really, we're going to have to see what comes of his roster and if he can hold on to a victory. Right now, it's a 2-point difference in the projection. Last question, Daniel, who do you have winning? Do you think you're pulling it through?
Yes. You know, this COVID thing is really kind of just taking off like wildfire again, you know? And just the pure flexibility that I have compared to Kurt. And, you know, guys like Cooper Kupp, we were talking about it this morning. I don't know if it's his footwork, if it's his camaraderie with quarterback Matthew Stafford, but he has managed to get free from COVID risks throughout the season, even when the Rams locker room has been swarmed in COVID cases. So, you know, my boy Debo, I told you last night I'm a Debo guy for life after this season. I think it's going to happen. I think that, yeah, Vampire's peaking at the right time, brother.
All right. And now, once again, we look back. Again, our other matchup, Solo Dolo versus Steven. Big, big gap for Steven to make up. But, you know, Deebo Samuel put up 28 points for you. 30 points from Stefon Diggs. Cuts that lead in half. And, you know, some low scoring from Chase. And each week is different. Every team they play on the defense has a different setup. And you never know. But we'll find out. And after this commercial break, we'll be right back with the Ray Lewis League playoffs. Huge developments, Daniel.
Yeah, and not in the direction I would prefer.
Well, I'm Chad Hemsworth, star of Coat Rack 2, and this is a Miller Lite. Inside a Miller Lite is a fine Pilsner beer brewed with the highest quality ingredients. We use choice hops from the Pacific Northwest, as well as noble size hops, to deliver more taste, aroma, and color. With only 96 calories per 12 ounces. Miller Lite, a fine Pilsner beer.
Little gorilla recording here. We're back. Daniel, I want to talk the Ray Lewis League, and I think we should start off with talking about our byes. Obviously, our first place, or two first and second place teams in the Ray Lewis League got a bye. That was Tristan and Chase, correct?
Mm-hmm. One seed Johnsonville Champs, two seed Atlantic City Knockouts. And for the two teams that did get byes, it was a good thing. If we take a look at Johnsonville Champs scoring output for that bye week, he registered 78.7 points. Mm. Underwhelming efforts from Najee Harris, Odell Beckham Jr. He played Rex Burkhead in one of his running back spots and got negative 1 point from a Green Bay defense. If we take a look at the two-seed Atlantic City Knockouts, he did register a higher score, 111.2 points, but just a 0.5 point performance from Jamar Chase, 6 from Miles Gaskin in the flex, and Chase double dipping with Chris Godwin, has him in both leagues, got 7 points from Chris on his final performance of the season, so he's going to have to move forward without that player as well. That scoring output from Chase, 111 points, would have been felled by the two victors in our matchups of head-to-head. And if we look at Chase's 111.2 point total, that would not have been enough to take out either of the victors from the two head-to-head matchups in the playoffs, right, Quinn?
Correct. I think it's interesting to see that the two people that got a bye needed the bye. You know, Tristan puts up 78 points. Chase puts up 111. You know, if they were in real competition, you know, potentially they would see themselves losing to most of the people in the playoff system, and including some of the people that just missed it. You know, Z-Hud the Stud's got to be, you know, kicking himself. He put up 112 points just outside the playoff bracket, whereas, you know, him and Jay Money are probably some of the hottest players coming into the playoffs. They all had stronger scores than either the people with the byes, who had the best records in the regular season. So it leads me to ask Daniel, on the first round of the playoffs, if we check out Siren House versus the Anal Fisters, that one of the competitive matchups in round one, Siren House 8-6 makes himself into the playoffs in the fifth seed versus the fourth ranked Anal Fisters. And Siren House comes up with the upset, 128.2 to 72.7. And low-key Daniel puts up the high score again in the league.
Yeah. And, you know, Andy went out there all season long and was putting up big numbers. And this past week was no different. No surprise, Jonathan Taylor had his hand in it, 27.9 points. Mark Andrews with 30. Antonio Gibson getting him 15 out of the flex, and he also got double digits from the defense, Minnesota getting him 13. So he put up the high score of the week despite getting 9.6 points combined from quarterback Tom Brady and wide receiver Hunter Renfrow. So Andy's team was on a tear the second half of the season, and it looks like that has carried over into the playoffs, where he's got a holiday family affair scheduled with the one seed and defending champion Johnsonville Champ. We're going to get a rematch of last year's final one round earlier this year, Quinn.
Always a good time. I think they'll both be up for the task. You know, Siren House came in, had some great, you know, scoring from throughout his team, minus Tom Brady, minus Hunter Renfrow. Everybody else did great. And I think we have to look over on the other side of the board to Anal Fissures and just realize that he ran out of depth throughout the season with Christian McCaffrey being so injured and so inefficient when he was able to play, and losing other running backs and not being able to utilize them at the right time. Like Alexander Mattison last week, unplayable, 0 points. This week, projected for 18.
Right.
He's on the bench for, you know, Derek. If Derek had the ability to run with him, an active Alexander Mattison, you know, might have had the depth there. But it just looks like he ran out of players. You know, he was using Kareem Hunt, Alexander Mattison, Devontae Booker, and Dearness Johnson. All those are backups. None of those are full-fledged starting running backs. And so he just could not replace Christian McCaffrey. And I think that hurt him. He covered a total of 10 points in the running back position in the playoffs. And then in the flex and his wide receivers only was able to cap 21 points. So, you know, when you put up within five positions 50 points, it's not going to be a winnable matchup in the playoffs. And I think that Derek did his best, but, you know, just ran out of space with the roster size.
Now, Quinn, if we take a look at his roster, looking forward to next season and the keeper conversation, Joe Mixon currently the number three fantasy running back in the Ray Lewis League. I think that's probably pretty near a lock as a keeper.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that Christian McCaffrey is a lock to be a keeper next season in the Ray Lewis League for Derek?
I think in this league that's been going on for 10 years, I think he is a lock. Because at some point, you had to look at the Derrick Henry situation where people have asked if you should pick him up or not, or keep him or not. And the answer has always been, you know, who knows, he's getting older and he might start to do the downhill turn that running backs take. But he's proved that wrong every time. I think Christian McCaffrey gets the benefit of the doubt that he's one of these level of running backs in the league. So I think you can't doubt the idea that he is still keepable. And it is in your best interest to probably keep that asset. And you could turn him into two players perhaps next year in a trade situation, as opposed to trying to draft two solid players either in a keeper situation or once the actual draft round starts. So I think if Derek was to save only Joe Mixon, then I would say not keep Christian McCaffrey, but I also wouldn't keep anybody else. I think then you got to allow yourself the highest draft position to choose from, because that's how valuable Christian McCaffrey is. And that might even include picking Christian McCaffrey right back up, you know?
Just dipping the toe in the pool, so to speak.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tristan had it right. You know, he picked up Najee Harris, dipping his toe. If Derek thinks that there's a Najee Harrisian type player that's going to be in the draft next year, maybe you do that. Maybe you see who other people have dropped. You know, Daniel and Chase had strong lineups. Can't keep them all. You could judge that. But I think that's a great question, because Christian McCaffrey's been so injured on and off the last 2 to 3 years. When was the last time we saw him black flip into the end zone?
Right. And so we've now talked about all of the first round matchups in the winner's bracket. We will go ahead and swing on over.
I'm sorry. You know, Daniel, we missed one. It was the number three seed versus the number six. Your boy, Jay Moneybags, came in with a huge upset and takes you out in the first round. Daniel, this is your earliest exit in several years. How's it feel?
Well, you know,
let's not talk numbers. How's it feel? You've embodied
sucks.
Jay.
Fucking sucks, dude. But yeah. You know, Jay went out there and earned it. Travis Kelce, I feel like we've talked about two leagues so far, and we've talked about a lot of low scores. And I think across most of fantasy football, there were a lot of underwhelming efforts last week. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably any team that was tethered or tied to Travis Kelce in the starting lineup had an incredible chance of winning last week. And that was no different for Jay.
Yep.
And so, yeah, man, it sucks, but I rooted for him all season. We had him on the pod several times. And I took out Z-Hud in the final week of the regular season to make a way for money to get in.
Yeah,
so.
As a favor. So, Daniel, like, do you look back and think about if you were someone that threw a game? Was this the game to throw? But also, Z-Hud put up a big score last week.
Yeah, put up 112.
So it would have been real close.
Still would have beat me. I you know, specifically with this league and talking about it on the podcast and talking trash, most of it's facetious. You know, I don't mean most of it, but just the fact that it's on tape, me saying it, you know, I can't go out there and throw a game. So that really wouldn't have been in play there. And
another comment about Jay's team is that, you know, he got the luck of having a quarterback that played in a shootout. You know, we don't always talk about that, but it's kind of the hope that you have sometimes when we do talk about potential quarterback scoring high. From week to week, we might find a matchup where we're all hoping that there would be a shootout. And especially the cameras and the producers on those TV shows hope those games are a shootout. But for the most part this year, we haven't had a lot of large, gigantic scoring output games between two awesome quarterbacks. Sometimes they've been like a Taylor Heinicke, who's probably not on people's rosters, and he's been in shootouts with other teams. Or Jared Goff has made some efforts, you know, to create shootouts in the latter part of the season. But he had Justin Herbert put up 26 points in a losing effort to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's where I'm saying that, you know, he lucked out with one of the best games that you could probably play in last week, where there was, you know, over 60 points scored between two teams. You know, you caught some real-world bad matchups and great games that they got to score against you. And, you know, he only had one dud, and that was Chase Claypool. Daniel, did you have any duds, would you say, in your roster this year going into the playoffs?
Well, yeah, it seemed like DeAndre Hopkins went down at the wrong time for me. I had trouble filling a wide receiver two slot. And T. Higgins, he and the Bengals offense had been on kind of a burner over the previous little chunk. They really struggled against Denver, came out with a 15-10 victory, but T. Higgins registered just two catches for 23 yards. As well, out of the flex, Cordell Patterson, who's been really pretty sturdy, reliable, and kind of a breakout sensation this year. He managed just 3.1 points against the San Francisco 49ers. And then Arizona defense, low-key, struggled against a surprise effort from the Detroit Lions. They kind of got walloped to the tune of 30-12. They registered just 3 points. So if you take a look at like the bottom chunk of my starters, you've got single digits.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough outcome. Going back to Cordero Patterson, Daniel, you had him in both leagues. Picked him up in free agency in the Vampire because no one drafted him in the auction. And then in this league, you also picked him up from free agency because no one drafted him outright in our snake draft. We look at him, and he's put up 20-point games, 30-point games, and 15-plus point games throughout the season. He put up 3 points last week and then is snubbed in the Pro Bowl selection, as well as Austin Eckler, another player on your squad. Daniel, you've got two of the top running backs in the league, but the ones that were not selected for the Pro Bowl, is there any connection there, do you think, on this? Were they not consistent enough? Do people not believe in Cordell Patterson as an asset to select him there? Or was his performance just not Pro Bowl material, and that showed up in your playoff matchup?
You know, Pro Bowl players make Pro Bowl plays, and I didn't have enough of those this past weekend to take out Jay Moneybags. You know, one thing I think, if you take a look at my roster, you consider the keepers, you might see, you know, Dalvin Cook injured throughout the season, but really, really good when he played. Ezekiel Elliott, you know, I think the eye test probably says maybe about time to cut bait. His number seven running back ranking kind of argues against that. I would say the biggest hurdle I had to go against was Dak Prescott, and just inconsistency and injuries with him kind of derailed. Great start to the season against Tampa Bay. You know, he breaks 25 points in five out of his first six games. Then he loses time with a calf injury. Comes back with a couple solid outings, but his trend is severely downward and directionally speaking. And he managed just 13.2 points this last weekend. And, you know, I've got to get more than that out of a quarterback in a league like this. I did, you know, I picked up Justin Fields off of waivers late in the season. And I kind of want to take a quick cup of coffee with him. I know the games aren't important for anything, but I want to see how he performs these last few weeks. You know, a running quarterback that can also throw it is highly, highly valuable in this league. So in taking a look at what my team did and what we're doing going forward, I would say that things are in flux and that, you know, anybody's on the chopping block at this point.
Yep. So we look ahead. Siren House, the number five seed, is going to take on Johnsonville Champs, like we talked about in this family affair. And Jay Moneybags, after that upset over you, Daniel, is going to move on to another tough matchup against 10-4, number two ranked Atlantic City Knockouts. Coming off of a low-scoring round that would have lost to Jay, how's this round look? In quick little thought, who do you think's winning this game, Daniel?
Jay Moneybags.
He's going with Jay. Jay put him in the coffin in the Ray Lewis League, and he thinks he's going to put Chase right there with him. Chase put up 16 points last night. Kittle only got three.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to need, you know, get some White Culpepper, get some Nick Chubb, some Jamar Chase, who only has Joe Burrow throwing to him. So we will see, leaving Brandon Ayuk on the bench, Chris Godwin on the IR. And he's carrying three defenses currently. Just a side comment, now that we're looking at his roster, he's got people the likes of Myles Gaskin, Taysom Hill, the Colts defense, and the Saints defense on his bench. Is Chase trying to siphon the well in this case going into the playoffs, Daniel?
I would have to take a quick look at when he made these acquisitions. Has he had these for a while, or did he just pick these up?
We're just clicking on them now.
Added the Saints to yesterday.
He added them on the 15th. Added the Colts on the 15th.
Okay.
So last week. So he's added a team every week and not dropped his previous defense.
The only reason I ask is Jay's defense is going up against Kansas City this weekend. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if Chase was snatching up defenses to get, limit Jay specifically and his options for alternate defenses.
Exactly. I agree. So, you know, projections 102 to 108 in Jay's favor after that Kittle performance and the lack of Ayuk in the starting lineup. So, projections point towards Jay to continue the Cinderella story.
And the Cinderella story has really kind of just been a theme of the league in general over the past few seasons. Not to besmirch or belittle anybody's accomplishments, but the big names, the big titans from the early years of the league seem to have taken a half step back, and we've seen Tristan rise the ranks, Andy rise the ranks. Maybe this is just money's time.
Yeah, could be money's
Much
time.
Much like it was Tony time in season 31 Vendettas, and Tony had to eliminate Bananas from the competition. Jay's looking to do the same thing to Chase this weekend.
Mm-hmm. I heard from a little birdie that, you know, Karen and Andy weren't invited down to Tristan's house for Christmas morning because of this competition. Once they lined it up, they don't want to have to mix family and fantasy. Mm-hmm. But who do you have winning? Projections 118 to 115 going towards Siren House, the highest score in the league this year. What do you think?
Yeah, my brain says Siren House, but I hopped on the Johnsonville train a few weeks ago, and I'm just going to stay true to that. So, brain says Siren House, but my prediction remains the same. Tristan is going to repeat as champion this season.
Amazing. I'm going to look at Tristan's team and speak to, you know, his roster. His starting lineup is one of the solid rosters in the league. We can't deny are good. Aaron Rodgers, Najee Harris, Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson even, and then Noah Fant coming into the conversation as, you know, a more viable option, especially probably next year. And then Adam Thielen has been great when not injured with his ankle. Those are solid players, and more importantly, they're all healthy and not on the COVID list. And Devontae Adams even is getting guarded by 2 to 3 players on other teams. And, you know, he's got some of the best players in the league. But, you know, Andy's combination of scoring and roster management this year has been on point. But I'm going to have to go also with Tristan. I love it when I gave, you know, one thing, a quote from our upcoming documentary that we've got, Daniel. You know, Tristan says the lineup's always set, and he's always dialed in. So I think we're going to go with Tristan on this one and see if Andy, you know, if we had a 5 and 6 seed in the championship, that'd be crazy. You know, it's all about peaking at the right time.
That's it.
Well, Daniel, after this, we've got one more playoff to talk about.
Absolutely. Quinn, after all the time you spent with mathematics and bracket building, we're going to commit the next segment to reviewing the Super League bracket, pitting the two leagues head-to-head. That right after this word from our commercial sponsor.
Where's the place to get the hats?
Rock City Kicks!
Where's the place to get the shirts?
Rock City Kicks!
Where's the place to get the pants?
Rock City Kicks!
Where's the place to get the kicks?
Rock City Kicks, located at 121 West Township Street.
And we're back, and Quinn, we're here to talk about your proudest child since you debuted the QPC projections a few seasons back. I'm talking about the Super League. 14-team bracket, 2 teams with a bye, teams across 2 leagues in a bloodbath that ends and culminates in a 4-man fatal 4-way matchup 2 weeks from now.
And at this point, of course, you know, refer to, we'll drop an updated bracket for you all to look at while we're here. But talking about the two advanced people, Daniel and Andy finished as the top scorers in both leagues and ended up with the top scoring byes in our Super League tournament. And let's start with a couple of the interesting matchups. Let's talk about one of the big upsets this week was Jay Moneybags over the Anal Fisters. Jay ranked lower in the league than Anal Fisters, came in obviously with Travis Kelce, came in with an adjusted score 11% higher to bring him up into a vampire score, was 133.2 points, and he took out 80.69 points from Anal Fisters. So he's advanced, and he's going to play Andy this week in the Super League.
Yeah, so Jay's going to have to wait and win at least one more week before he's able to go head-to-head with a vampire team. This is one of the few matchups that presented 2 teams from the same league. And just much like we touched on before, Moneybags had Travis Kelce and Derek did not. I think that's one of the biggest deciding factors here. Jay put up a number, he put up 120, and so what are we saying? That's about 132 in vampire scoring?
Yeah, 132, 133, yeah. 0.2, yeah.
So, you know, respectable score, and, you know, something to hang his hat on, and he's got to hope that the good times roll this next week, because Andy's going to be there to play. He's playing for his championship hopes in the Ray Lewis League, and he's going to carry that energy over to the Super League. I'm here to speak on behalf of the 2 teams that received byes. Much like the heralded and respected champion veterans on the challenge, such as, you know, your Wes's, CT's, Bananas, Durrell's, we have to establish a certain tone and demand a certain level of respect from the team seated lower than us. So we got to go out there and put up big scores this week.
Yeah, let's talk about one of the other big scores is Mr. Solo Dolo. He's ranked 3 in our Super League tournament, and he's taken on the 14 seed Sandusky Shower, and not much of a competition there again this week because Chase blew up last week with 148 points in the Vampire League, and so when we adjust Sandusky's 67.5 score, he only gets up to 76.92 points, and he's going to fall to Chase in the Super League, and that's the end of his competitive season.
Yeah, you know, Chase brought his Vampire team into town for this matchup against Kyle, and you know, for Kyle, I imagine this is much like seeing Chase date the same woman for 10 years, and then they show up for a dinner or a friend gathering, and Chase is bringing a new girl around. You know, Scott prepared for one Chase team all season long and had to go up against a different and arguably stronger team in Mr. Solo Dolo. I know we're going to touch on the other matchups, but just taking a look at this side of the bracket, I think one of the most interesting potential outcomes would be seeing Chase and Andy advance to the end of that, where we'd have two different teams featuring Jonathan Taylor finding themselves in that fatal four-way.
Oh, wow. That would be something. That would be something. So to finish off the Southern Stoner part of the bracket, let's go to the 6-seed Turd Ferguson versus Z-Hud the Stud at number 11. Daniel, as a stoner here, you want to control this region of the bracket. You want to move forward. And Turd Ferguson was in a great position to win and play Solo Dolo next week. But he was upset in we had 3 matchups. That was the Vampire League versus the Ray Lewis League. And folks, Turd Ferguson lost. And it's 1-0 Ray Lewis over Vampire League.
Yeah, you know, Chase sent me an email kind of talking about what his touchstone points would be in stoner terms for coming out victorious. And, you know, Chase said that you would think somebody like Robbie, who's adept at calling neighbor, being the one next to the person that starts the joint, that Robbie would be preemptive in a strike against Zach. But Zach's got that big city weed energy. Zach's got the edgy dab pens, you know, waxes, edibles. You know, Zach's experience here really just outshone Robbie, who's maybe a little closer to that college stoner age. I think this is a wake-up call that you got to approach this as a young adult stoner next season.
Correct.
That's what Chase said. That's what Chase's email to me said.
Right, right. And we'll present that as well. For you all to read. But yeah, so big upset. Z-Hud the Stud came in with 112 points. We talked about how he put up a great score, and if he had made the playoffs, he would have beaten you in round one of the Ray Lewis League with that score. And in this case, he's going to get to use that with 11% bump. He comes up to 125, and he beats Turd Ferguson, 78 points. He wins by a large margin. He's advancing. He's playing another player in the Vampire League next week in Solo Dolo. So it's going to be the 3 versus the 11 seed, Mr. Solo Dolo versus Hud the Stud, and number 10, J Moneybags versus number 2, Siren House. So 2 upsets in the Stoner League bracket and 2 big matchups coming up this week. Keep going. We'll keep you abreast of it. Let's talk about one of our next highest player in the league that competed this week in the Super League, which was number 4, Deacon Dorf of the Vampire League, taking on number 13, Team Kissin' Sam Cousins from our favorite show, Let Me Show You Something.
Let me show you something.
Yeah.
Hey, Quinn, and why don't you show us something right now? Give us that quick clip of the Sam's podcast.
Exactly.
Coming this winter, it's Let Me Show You Something with the Skin Cannon.
I'm a horticulturalist, and today I'm looking at the landscape irrigation system and trying to make sure that everything's functioning properly and that everything's getting covered.
Coming this winter, Let me show you something.
Covered.
With the skin cannon. Sam Kincannon.
Okay, we're back, and as we previewed last week, this is a matchup of former roommates, current enemies, future lovers, to be determined. But Sam's team was a team that let you down when you needed him most all season long. Kurt is riding a heater of his first season in the playoffs in the Vampire League. And, you know, for Kurt, it was a victorious matchup. And for Sam, it was the end of a long season that saw a lot of growth and success. And I think that, you know, for Sam, he can definitely identify the ways that he can improve as a fantasy owner. And I'm hoping that he takes these lessons and is able to leverage them into a brighter future.
And interesting thought, am I wrong here, but both had Tyreek Hill on their team. So that was one of those moments where we had a Tyreek Hill in the Vampire League versus the Tyreek Hill in the Ray Lewis League. And, you know, Sam just did not have a big enough roster surrounding that player to buoy him in the Super League competition. We take a look at Sam's score in round one of the consolation bracket in the NIT. Sam came away with 89 points, almost found the victory against Sandusky Showers. So, you know, 4-10 to end the year for Sam. Thought he could make the playoffs, start off real hot, but kind of fizzled out once his podcast started.
Yeah, you know, Sam's got divided attention between the true crime radio broadcast, right. Let Me Show You Something. He works as a horticulturist and a civil, checking out sprinkler heads in the first pilot episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, for him, it's just got to be developing that routine.
Yeah.
Check the app on game days. From there, you grow to checking the app days before the game. So Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the growth aspect is what I'm really looking forward to with Sam. Much like a horticulturist would cultivate a hydrangea, and alter the pH levels of the soil to turn the flowers either pink, red, or blue. Sam needs to find soil amendments to combine with Tyreek Hill in order to allow his roster to blossom.
And we thought Kyler Murray was, you know, one of his other keepers was going to be a great asset. But those two did not really combine on the same weeks for high scores.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, one last thing for Sam's team and about Kyler Murray is when I asked you if Christian McCaffrey was a keeper and you said you're kind of obligated to keep him if he's already on your team, I think Kyler's the quarterback version of that. Because we've seen that when he's humming efficiently, he's healthy and his weapons are healthy, super dynamic, somebody that's able to run for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns, and can sling it with the best of them. But this season, again, you know, his injuries, Hopkins' injuries, and then just kind of lackluster play over the last few weeks has really kind of soured my taste on Kyler.
I agree. One of the other things too, you know, speaking of keepers, you know, you got to look at AJ Brown, who's in his IR spot for Sam to possibly keep. You know, AJ just popped off last night. Leonard Fournette, who's on the IR now, but still in Sam's starting lineup. you know, he's also keepable in a sense. I mean, he's a solid running back choice if you wanted to go running back receiver. But if Sam wanted to go two receivers, he could go with A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill if he wanted to go QB receiver, keeping Kyler Murray in that situation. But I think this entire league, if in a few years Sam ends up in the playoffs winning, and it's just this development, this cultivation that you're talking about, I think everybody, all 11 other players in the league, have to give themselves a pat on the back for helping cultivate a better league. You know, that's what the Super League's about. That's what the podcast's about. That's what trade conversations and the messenger situations are about. It's about how to keep a league active and make everybody better and more competitive. So it's a highly competitive, very entertaining, and hopefully heartbreaking league at that point.
No doubt. And much like Ben Affleck's character Chucky in Good Will Hunting, when he says that the best part of his day is walking up to Matt Damon's door hoping that he doesn't answer, that he's not in there. It would really, the best part of my fantasy experience in the Ray Lewis League would be watching Sam grow to somebody who takes one of us out en route to a championship.
Right, right. So we'll have to see that. We want that for Sam. We want that for, you know.
You should do that as a monologue.
Do what?
You know what the best part of my day is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should do it. Yeah, we should. I like that idea. So, long story short, Kurt comes away with a victory. He
medium story short. Yeah. We're not even dragging along here.
Yeah, yeah. So let's move up the bracket, and we'll take a look at one of our other matchups in the northern part of the bracket. I can't remember what we called the north.
It was the jocks, right?
The jocks. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So Kurt, you know, both soccer players.
Yep.
Team, you know, Sam and Kurt. We've mentioned that. So in this jock outing, he takes the win over Sam. So moving on to the fifth ranked player in the Super League, we've got Johnsonville champs, Tristan. Tristan didn't play anybody in his week one bye in the Ray Lewis League, but that score still counts, Tristan.
It does.
He still needed a...
He's on the books.
He's on the books. And he played cross-eyed Dilfer's Scott King, coming in at number 12. Scott, unable to roster a full squad this week, understandably so, 61 points after the adjustment, and he's going to fall barely to Tristan. He could have defeated the number one ranked player in the Ray Lewis League in the Super League this week. Let's take a quick look at Scott's team just out of respect. Cross-eyed Dilfer's came in this year 5-9 in that hunt for the playoffs. Didn't make it, but he finds himself with a bunch of questionable and people out. Brandon Cooks, Cole Beasley this week. David Johnson was hurt. Joey Sly's been on the IR for months. You know, maybe one of the most inactive rosters we have in the last half of the league this year has been the cross-eyed Dilfer's. But he had an opportunity last week to put up some points, and he could have definitely, once Derrick Henry went to the IR, there could have been some hope for him to keep competing, but Tristan skims away with an adjusted score of 87.35. He only scored 78 points in his bye last week, folks, so he got lucky, and he gets lucky again in the Super League, barely inching by cross-eyed Dilfer's by 17 points, or excuse me, 27 points, and so he'll go into the next round facing Kurt. We got a 4 versus a 5 seed in the Super League, and we've got another Ray Lewis versus the Vampire League matchup, so we're excited about this.
Yeah, a few things of note there. It'll be another matchup where the same player is going head-to-head against himself. Both Tristan and Kurt roster Minnesota wide receiver Justin Jefferson. Mm. And I think the question for Tristan in the Super League and in the Ray Lewis League is, what can he get out of his RB2 slot? We saw Najee Harris, his RB1, struggle last week. I think that's more of a blip or an aberration compared to what we expect of him week in, week out. But we saw last week that he was dancing with Rex Burkhead. He's got Devin Singletary, Buffalo running back, currently in that RB2 slot. And I'm just curious, you know, you look at his bench, it's Burkhead, and that's it in terms of running back. So if he were to have a COVID scare, an injury scare, with the trade deadline pass, he was really going to have to find himself scrambling to secure another running back. But that's really the only deficiency on his roster. Wide receiver heavy with Devontae Adams, Jordan Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham, Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the bench. So he's riding the Green Bay wave, double dipping Rodgers and Adams. And I think that only question is, are his running backs strong enough to go head-to-head with a Vampire League team?
And on some level, Kurt, he's, you know, on the, against the ropes with Kelce and Tyreek Hill out on the COVID list. So, you know, this could be an upset in this sense for Tristan if he could take out a Vampire League player like Kurt. You know, obviously Kurt got to auction, buy whatever players he wanted. He didn't have to wait in line to see what was available. So obviously this is going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be an adjusted score battle. Kurt came in, doubled Tristan's score from last week. I don't think that's going to happen again. So it's going to be a much closer matchup. We'll keep an eye on it. Takes us to our last matchup we had. One of the fun ones in a bracket always, the 8-9 seed game. Mm-hmm. Anybody mm-hmm. could win, the closest one. And it was two teams from the Ray Lewis and the Vampire League. Stevens and Quinn's team and both elected to use their Ray Lewis League teams. So not an interleague matchup, but a good matchup nonetheless. Low scoring, grinded it out. It was a close bout. Steven put up 86.6 points, and that adjusts to 96.12. And last week, I put up 89.7 points in the same league, adjusted to 99.56. So I squeaked by 3.5 points over Steven, with an upset being the 9 seed, taking out the 8 seed. And I'm going to face you, Daniel, next week in the Super League, or this week in the Super League, for that matter.
Yeah, so it looks like your victory last week was leveraged by performances from Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 passing touchdown. And you got 16.6 out of Deebo Samuel, 16.2 out of Austin Eckler. Those were your only 3 players to break double digits, but it was enough to knock out Steven, eliminate him from Super League champion contention. And for Steven, I imagine this is the end of a frustrating season, and probably what he hopes is a frustrating run of mediocrity after a high level of sustained success in the Ray Lewis League.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Steven's squad now. He was able to come and acquire Javonte Williams, Denver running back. He's always been a bit of a Broncos fan. He's rolling with 3 quarterbacks, Tua, Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, Jalen Waddle to complete the Tua wide receiver quarterback set, Elijah Mitchell on IR, the San Francisco running back, DK Metcalf, Seattle receiver. And Quinn, I guess I'm rambling to say I'm not exactly sure who Steven's keepers are next year.
Hmm.
I think that he's a good contender to enter the draft night with just 1 keeper on his squad.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, I'm starting to pull this up as well, Daniel, and I gotta agree, you know, Steven doesn't have the strongest squad in the league, obviously, but, you know, his trades we've talked about with you over the last few years, his movements, you know, he might have, in a sense, had a win-now attitude, and now he's really feeling that vacuum come into play. So, yeah, does he have a second keeper? I mean, you would have thought maybe Mike Williams, but Mike just didn't have a consistent season again. You know, his players are down. Yeah, I'd say other than DK Metcalf, you know, he's the cat to keep. So, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe Steven's high on James Robinson. You know, he likes to keep his eye on these boomer bust potential guys. And obviously James had a different situation with Urban Meyer coaching him. He's going to have a way different coach next year who I assume is going to be feeding James the ball as a response to what happened this last year. So I got to say Steven's got a big hole to cover, but potentially could, you know, keep 2 keepers. But I like the idea that you might keep 1. You know, keep your options open, Steven. See what you want.
So, Quinn, your Ray Lewis team is going head-to-head against the Vampire this week. And, hey, it's becoming a theme. Same player on both teams. We both got Deebo Samuel. And yep. What a performance
and
he had
Austin
that
Eckler,
Thursday night. And
we're
Austin
lose out
Eckler.
On him. He's out. Yep.
Well, ESPN still got a score projected for him, so I haven't lost hope yet.
Oh, cool.
Right. He was placed on COVID Wednesday afternoon, so he does have a chance, according to ESPN, still to play Sunday in Houston. We will see, to be determined. So it looks like Quinn, for the time being, you're levying Alex Collins, former Razorback, is your Austin Eckler replacement. Tell me, what do you have to do to take out the player that was the number 1 overall seed, the highest adjusted score in Super League regular season play?
I got to tell you, it's a tough matchup. I mean, there's a reason why the 9 seed's got to play the 1 seed. You know, I was happy with the win. Knew I'd face the highest score in both leagues, you know. And it's going to take a lot. But I've got people like Tyler Lockett coming back into my lineup who weren't there last week. I've got Deebo Samuel with you, so we're going to in a sense, I'm only going to use a few points based on scoring between that. So I'm not scared with the Deebo Samuel output. But I'm hoping that people like Michael Gallup and Clyde Edwards-Helaire can actually kind of, you know, make their statements for their roles in these offenses that they play on. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a sophomore running back who hasn't had his best showing, and of course most of the season was injured, but I feel like he's really trying hard in his comeback. And the same with Michael Gallup, injured for half the season, coming back, trying to establish some type of rapport in the passing game with Dallas. So, you know, if they both scored touchdowns, that's what it's going to come down to, is if whoever in any of these playoffs this week, Daniel, can roster a player that's actually going to be scoring touchdowns. With all these COVID people out, it's going to change the landscape of all these scoring. So, as a review, Daniel, looking at the bracket as it's developed, we've got number one seed, Stampire the Vampire from the Vampire League, facing Quinn, This Train's Bound for Glory out of the Ray Lewis League, 1 versus 9. We've got the number 5 versus the number 4 seed in Johnsonville Champs versus Deacon Dorf. Solo Dolo from the Vampire League is taking on Z HUD, the number 3 versus the number 11 seed. And then J Moneybags continues his Cinderella story in two different playoffs with an upset over number 7 ranked Anal Fisters, takes him to play number 2 Siren House this week. And we're excited to see the results of the Super League matchups. We've got 3 out of 4 matchups are going to be interleague play, Daniel. We're excited about this.
No doubt. And this is the final round before the Fatal 4-Way. So, Quinn, we're talking Fatal 4-Way. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. We've had a lot of feedback, a lot of emails.
Nelson would say, the needy-greedy.
Yeah. We've had a lot of listener and league feedback. Remember, send your emails. Go to quinncarsonmusic.net, and you can find all the deets there. But the listeners were saying, hey, what's up with this Fatal 4-Way? So, Quinn, we got 8 teams right now. The winners of these 4 matchups are going to advance to a 4-way winner-take-all Fatal 4-Way.
Final.
This time, for real.
Yeah, exactly.
Week 17, these teams will be going head-to-head against themselves in all 3 other teams. The highest single score amongst these 4 teams will walk away as challenge champion and will receive the Super League title of winner.
Winner, yeah. And again, obviously, you know, the commissioners will announce the award pretty soon. You know, they'll probably talk once. Yeah. You know, Steven's been moving to Los Angeles, so this might be Steven's first time listening to the podcast on the West Coast. So we're happy to have him out there. But yeah, we got a great couple brackets, some upsets in all the playoffs this year, and it's an exciting time in the league. We'll be back next week after Christmas. Daniel, you got any Christmas wishes for the fantasy league?
Let's see. Christmas wishes for the fantasy league. The only thing that, you know, I'm really hoping for is that we see a team tie in a playoff matchup with another team. I guess it would be 2 teams tying. 1 team can't tie.
Right.
But to see a tie in a playoff matchup, would be fascinating, you know? And hopefully it happens in the Ray Lewis League so that I don't have to decide a tiebreaker and have Chase burn my apartment down while I'm asleep at night. But no, otherwise, you know, I think, this is the second time we were able to work in studio this year. I think next week we'll probably try and squeeze something in potentially before the end of the year, but you'll be back in California, correct?
Yes, I am headed back there on Tuesday. I'm going to take a stop down in Dallas, so we'll have some fantasy football implications down there for us. But yes, we will be back next week. We've got the playoff results to hit. We're almost through the end of the season. 50 episodes, Daniel, we've passed, you know?
Yeah, we've touched different countries, different ears. You know, we've touched people in a lot of ways with those 50 episodes. And Quinn, I know you were telling me before the show started, you're looking forward to touching a lot of people moving forward.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm thinking we're gonna, you know, we want to figure this out. We want to hear from you all what you love, what you don't love, and you know, we're gonna have a great time. So have a great Christmas. We'll be back next week, and you know, keep your nose to the grindstone
and protect your neck. Next week on the Vampire Journals podcast, Chase's Christmas dinner turns into an explosion of words and ham.
Andy's disc golf course is defaced with a bunch of dollar signs in preparations for this week's matchup.
One competitor discovers a dark secret about a league mate and an ex-girlfriend.
I don't care if we're friends, I'm taking you out.